the What True Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Main interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this should. Hi, Tijan. Welcome to What True Next podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am an author. I don't know. I've been writing. I didn't start writing until after college. And it was kind of like a very weird way that I started. It was like I was at my parents' cabin and I just felt like I was going crazy because I had all these storylines and the characters in my head. So I had to like get them out of me. So then I just booted up my dad's like really old computer where I'm talking like it was like yellow. It was still old, but it wasn't like even white anymore. It was yellow. Yeah. And I didn't know if it would work, but it did. And then like I just started writing and I was just like everything clicked and I was like, this is what I'm supposed to do, whether I get paid for it or not. And then after that, it was kind of like I wrote and I tried to teach myself how to write fiction because I didn't really pay attention in school.
Yeah.
And then after that, I just started uploading to Fiction Press. And then there's a whole plagiarism issue where a bunch of authors got plagiarized. So then we moved to LiveJournal and then I wrote Fallen Crest High on LiveJournal and was told to publish that on Wattpad. It would do really well. So then I did and it went crazy. And people were like trying to steal it and write their own sequels. So then I self-published Fallen Crest High because I wanted something more official that it was mine. And yeah. then it went nuts. Then it was like in the top 100. And I didn't know what I was doing. And I wasn't even paying attention to like the top 100. I was paying attention to like the top young adult list.
Yeah.
so like, I can't even tell you. But that was the book that launched my career.
So
and that was 10 years ago.
That's crazy. And so what was the process of writing? Because you were probably writing to an audience who were like probably like giving reaction towards the book, you know, good or bad, you're getting reaction, live reaction, you know, putting it onto the internet. What was the process like at that time, you know?
Like with like Fiction Press, you mean like
yeah,
when I was
first Fiction Press, with LiveJournal and Wattpad, because that's a more like there's more interaction, more reader interaction than, you know, like we will see it now with BookTok, but it's not the same, you know,
probably 10 years ago. I've not cracked BookTok yet. I would love to.
Yeah.
But it was, well, I started doing Fiction Press because like their whole premise was like upload here and then you'll get like constructive reviews.
Yeah.
Which in all honesty, like didn't really happen, mm-hmm. but it was mostly like good stuff. You know, it was mostly like, I love this. Like, this is so great. But that is like, yeah, that was basically it. It was like just in all, like it was nice because it was not, I mean, there is like critical stuff, but not really on that website. That was mostly like good things, which I think in the beginning, you just need encouragement.
Yeah.
But then if you pull, I was trying to do like other things with like other writers and like their critiques were just like soul crushing you where it's like, okay, thank goodness that I do know that I can write a little bit or yeah. I would have quit based on your feedback to me. So, I mean, so there's some of that, but yeah, basically like Fiction Press and LiveJournal was just very, a lot of encouragement. And then Wattpad was like, Wattpad was the same thing, at least for me in the beginning. I'm not super active on there anymore, but yeah, in the beginning it was like, it was super, positive.
Yeah. What a time to be alive, you know, cause I remember having blogs where we just talk about like our personal life and like long form content and just like talk about it and have people on the internet having like positive or negative or having any comments. Like now we get it in social media, but you know, back in the day, simpler times.
Yeah, it was.
So, all right. So we got to talk about some of your backlist titles. So for new readers who are who are just discovering you hockey with benefits, where can, like, what other recommended book recommendations from your backlist would you recommend our listeners to pick up and to add them to their TBR?
I would recommend, it's not hockey, but it's football. I would recommend Enemies, and that's also on Kindle Unlimited. It's the same vibe, like college. And then Stone is like a professional football player. He's in the NFL, but she's in college. And then I would also, like, for hockey, I do have another hockey book, but it's they're older. They're like 30s, like older 20s, younger 30s. So it's a little bit different. And he's a professional hockey player. So that's the Not Outcast. But then also Fawn Crest High. Fawn Crest High is like a lot of like edgy, mature young adult vibe, high school messiness. And then Mason and Logan both play football in that series, in that book. And that one's free. Kindle Fawn Crest High is free everywhere in Kindle.
Perfect. You gave us like some more books to add to your TBR. So let's talk about Hockey with Benefits. Like, what is the elevator pitch?
The pitch I do is like Mara grew up in, she's got some stuff in her family life that she's trying to escape. And she uses or has used sex as one way to escape. And then her and Cruz meet, and then they start this kind of like, they're not even friends. They just have the benefits part of the relationship, and it works for him because he is a hockey star, and he's like, I don't have time for a girlfriend. And she really means it. Like, she's not, it was important for me to like write a book where like she didn't, you know, or like some girls say that, but then that's not what they mean. They go into the relationship, but no, she really means it. And then it's working for a while, and then it's not working.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I am in the book. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I know it's a romance. I know it's going to be fine, but it's
yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's what you put us through, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so what are you, you're a hybrid author, so you've been traditionally published as well as self-published. What's the experience like to manage both, you know, straddling both areas?
It's different. It's when you're doing, like, when you're working on the trade pub stuff that's traditionally published, it's like you got like a team with you. Mm-hmm. You got like, at least my agent is very involved. So like, yeah. I got my agent, and then you have the editors from the publisher, and it's like the whole, and then the publisher has like a whole team. Yeah. You know, and so like in that way, it's kind of nice. And then they also help with like doing ads and marketing. So yeah, that way it's kind of nice. But indie stuff, it's kind of like you have way more control over like the cover and like the title, and you're writing, like, it affects me. I think you're writing just for yourself, you know, like these are my books until I think that last round of proofreads. And then that's when the nerves hit, because I know that pretty soon I'm going to be handing it off. And then it's no longer my book. It's the reader's books after that. So it's, and then you get, if you do well with indie, you get paid better.
Yeah.
But then the potential is to be paid even more better with trade pubs if it goes well, you know? So yeah. There's negatives on both sides, and then there's positives on both sides too. I enjoy doing both, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like having both is the best of both worlds, because you get to learn from trade pub and try identifying what's, you know, with the team, you may figure out, like, they might tell you different things. So you may like, oh, this I can apply to my indie stuff. But I think with indie, you have the freedom to choose to write whatever you want to write. You know, like you said, like, I'm writing for me, and then, you know, then it becomes readers, but you can take more risks, you know, that trade pub may say, no, that's not selling right now. And then you can prove them wrong. You're like, oh, actually, you know, it's old, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And with trade pub, you also get like, I know with the insider is like, it got me into bookstores a lot more. So you are hitting like a different readership that you might not hit with just being indie too.
Yeah. So thank you for indulging me in this question, because I know a lot of readers may have that question, especially with hybrid. Like, what does it look like? You know, what are the pluses and the minuses? So thank you for sharing, and thank you for writing for us, even though it's your own work and it's for you for most of the process, you know. So thank you.
Well, thank you for reading.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep reading. So, in terms of book, what kind of books do you tend to read? Like, do you tend to read some romance or outside of the genre? Like, what do you like to read?
I tend to read what I write. Okay. But my rule is that I don't read it when I'm writing it. So, yeah. Like, right now I'm reading, or no, right now I'm working on Pine River, which is a young adult. So yeah. I have not read another young adult book in like forever. Like, I can't even remember. I'm reading, I do read Kristen Ashley. And so I got her newest one today. So I'm hoping to like, find some time to read that one. But then like when I switch gears and like, I'm going to be editing like, MC short story, Motorcycle Club short story next week or the week after that. So I can't read any Motorcycle Club books after that, you know? So that's kind of like, I'll probably read some paranormal. I read very differently from what I'm working on, because I don't want to be influenced at all.
Yep. I like this role a lot. Do you have any recommendations for our listeners to pick up?
Just what I said, Kristen Ashley. Yeah, Kristen, yep. And then, everybody is obsessed with her, but I'm obsessed with Jennifer Armentrout.
Yes. There we go.
Yeah. I really enjoy Deborah Anastasia's books, too. She's got a young adult, Drowning the Stars, that's really good.
Ooh, adding that to the queue, for sure. Yeah. So, Tijan, tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me on... I'm on TikTok, but I'm not like super active, but I am there. But I'm on Instagram at Tijan's Books, and then same handle for Twitter and same handle for Facebook. And then I have a reader group, which I'm pretty active in my reader group. It's called Tijan's Crew on Facebook.
Awesome. It's all going to be in the show now. So Tijan, thank you so much for being in the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading into your busy life. Listen with a free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of one with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.